يدبر رناي المشي بخر سناي لامور דבר אל בני ישראל, ואמרת אליכם כי תבואו אל הארץ אשר אני נותן לכם, ושבעו הארץ שבאת לאדוני. אני קמה. משה, אדוני said to משה on Mount Sinai, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land that I am giving you, rest shall the land, a Shabbat rest for Hashem in Yeshua's name. Adonai, in the name of Yeshua, thank you for your rest that you created in Yeshua's name. This is two parshas today. Bachukotai, Bahar, Bahar, Bahukotai. On or in the mountain, in my chukim, in my ordinances. This is the conclusion to Vayikra, which means he called, and he called. And he is calling his people back today. The main thing we need to remember is that DNA never disappeared. It's still here among us and in us. I said earlier today to somebody, I said, in our lives, we have to get our priorities reprioritized. It's not about how we look as we get older. It's not about what we have. It's about what we've allowed our character to become. Amen. That is most important. It's all up to our choices. We can choose to grow, and this is what they call toil in the Torah. When it says, if you follow my ways, in the Hebrew mindset, it means if you toil in the Torah. Meaning, as we're born in carnal nature, we are confused people, and we come into the ways of God with question marks all over our face. And we go in and we start to learn to apply, not learn to know. This culture is all today is all about knowing and not doing, cutting and running. It's about learning to apply, so that we can allow the Torah to purify us. If we don't, we should never open the book. We should never study it. We should go play checkers. If we can't apply it, what we learn to better our character. Otherwise, we wind up, like I've seen so many times, alone, bitter, and old. And this is a choice that many people make. Leviticus 25, 1 through 4.
The Lord spoke to Moshe on Mount Sinai, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land which I give you, then the land shall keep a Shabbat to the Lord. 6 years you shall sow your field, and 6 years you shall prune your vineyard and gather its fruit. But in the seventh year there shall be a Shabbat of solemn rest for the land, a Shabbat to the Lord. You shall neither sow your field nor prune your vineyard.
This has been looked at for many years by people as, so we're supposed to let our land rest. We're supposed to let the land rest. Yeah, we're supposed to let the land. This is another one of the laws for the land. Haaretz is to keep Shabbat. The land is to keep a Shabbat. For him. That's what it says in the Hebrew. For him. And it's a number seven segment again. Sevens are important to Adonai. Not only is the land to be restored on Shabbat, the seventh year, but we are to be restored every seventh day. He wants his land to return to its fruitfulness, its fruitful state, just as he wants us to return to that which was designed to bless us, our fruitful state. Galatians 5, 22 through 26.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Amen. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another.
Amen. The thing people need to learn what is to identify each one of these things he said that was a negative zone. Learn how to identify them in our lives when they start to rise up inside us. This is all part of holding all thoughts captive. I really like Ephesians 5, 9 through 10.
For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord.
Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And they just said it right above there. Goodness, righteousness, which is tzedakah in Hebrew, and emet, truth. These are all found in the Torah. That's what the Torah is. In fact, the Torah uses those words interchangeably to describe itself in people's lives. But we have to find out what's acceptable to Elohim. What's acceptable to him? And how do we find that out? He has an instruction book. In Bechukotai, Leviticus 26, 3 through 4.
If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and perform them, then I will give you rain in its season. The land shall yield its produce, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit.
If you, in some of the other versions, some of the direct translations will say, follow my statutes. In other words, let them lead you. Let them lead you also means to toil, which is amelut. Toil in them, finding out, basically, Ephesians 5:10, we start to get restored. When we find out what is acceptable to God, then we start to get restored. But only until then. I had a flood of things hit my head yesterday evening. So I came back here to get something, and humankind by themselves, cannot prove themselves as his chosen. Humankind combined with the Creator's instructions, with effort, can prove themselves as his chosen. Why else were we given this life? This little tiny piece of time he calls a vapor. Why else were we given it? We were given it to prove to him that we love him. Amen. That's what this world's all about. Putting him first and foremost. In these parshas today, we have Yovel, what is called Yovel, which is, I don't know how it got translated to Jubilee, but I wish I would just stick to the original names, because this is where confusion enter in. Yovel, Leviticus 25, 8 through 17.
And you shall count 7 Shabbats of years for yourself, 7 times 7 years. And the time of the 7 Shabbats of years shall be to you 49 years. Then you shall cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month, on the Day of Atonement. You shall make the trumpet to sound throughout all your land. And you shall consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land, to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you, and each of you shall return to his possession, and each of you shall return to his family. That 50th year shall be a yovel to you. In it you shall neither sow nor reap what grows of its own accord, nor gather the grapes of your untended vine, for it is the jubilee. It shall be holy to you. You shall eat its produce from the field. In this year of yovel, each of you shall return to his possession. And if you sell anything to your neighbor or buy from your neighbor's hand, you shall not oppress one another. According to the number of years after the Jubilee, you shall buy from your neighbor, and according to the number of years of crops, he shall sell to you. According to the multitude of years, you shall increase its price, and according to the fewer number of years, you shall diminish its price. For he sells to you according to the number of years of the crops. Therefore, you shall not oppress one another, but you shall fear your God, for I am the Lord your God.
Amen. He says, do not, the key word, do not oppress one another. We have been a confused people for many generations in the dispersions, toiling to return back to our spiritual nature. That's what the Torah is designed to do, bring us back to our spiritual nature, back to the frame of mind that Adam had in Eden before the fall. He did what God said without questioning it. He just did it. They're angels. The difference between them and us is they don't question it. They just do it. Even if they don't understand, they just follow through with what they were told to do. Yovel in Hebrew means a summoning home of the rightful owner of the land, a summoning back to Elohim, Yovel. It tells of a period of sevens in time where Israel returns home to their rightful status so that there's never this caste system. They're always allowed to come back. The families are allowed to come back to their original possession, which is a picture of us. Now we have another place in Scripture that talks about sevens, seven sevens. And that's the Omar, where we're in right now, the counting of the Omar up to Shavuot. We have an example in the Brit Chadashah in the New Testament. In the Renewed Covenant, we have an example of something taking place at the end of those 7 weeks of Omar in Acts 2. But first, I want to do Genesis 3:5. As Adam fell, he was going forward with God. He was in the garden, and HaSatan showed up and said these words in Genesis 3:5.
For God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.
You will be like God. And this has been a curse ever since he spoke this. This is a perfect example of an entity speaking something into existence. Because once that was spoken, man fell. No one can be like God. But we can glorify him by obeying him. And in Acts 2, 1 through 8, these people were restored back to the status before the Tower of Babel. They were restored back. Acts 2, 1 through 8.
When the day of Shavuot had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were, dwelling in Jerusalem, Yehudim, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each in our own language, in which we were born?"
Why did this happen at the Temple Mount? Keywords. They were one accord. They were one, echad with God. And God was able to, through that, impart to them what he wanted to do and what he did. And they knew this. These men knew their Torah. They knew the story of the Tower of Babel, how languages got all mixed up. And the Spirit, the Ruach Kodesh, came upon these men, and they were restored back to the status of before Babel. They all understood each other in different languages. And I thought that was very interesting, because it's an example of the more we get in accord with God and his ways, the more he imparts his power upon us, gives us more insight. He gives us the ability to see more around us and be aware of more that's going on around us. Very interesting what he does. This summoning home was about being completed. And these men at the Temple Mount became completed. It's what I listened to a recording 15 years ago by a little Jewish man, a rabbi in Israel who was disowned for allowing Yeshua to p- pull him out. And he said, before Yeshua came into his life, he was a house without a roof. When Yeshua came into his life, he says, I was not converted. I became completed. Amen. He became completed. And that's what it's about. Too many people think, oh, that building in Bayfield, oh, that building, the building. Be careful, you'll become a Judaizer, you'll be converted. No, it's about a house being a house of completion. Where are we headed with all this? Where are we headed with this? Are we just packing it around to look at it like novelties? No. We are to circumcise our heart, let it in. Circumcise our heart and admit we were wrong. I was wrong over and over. At the same time, though, we're admitting how wrong we are. We have to have the strength enough to say, and I am going to do something about it. Instead of just being self-debased. Oh, I've been so wrong and I'm so wrong. And I'm always going to be wrong. I've heard this forever. Let's get up and do something about it. The house is burning down. Throw some water on it. Water of life. Let's get going. Let God's word do what it was designed to do in us. God wants his people to have the chance to return back to their original status, spiritual status, which was before Adam's fall. Remember, these instructions on your veil are very similar to the instructions of the Omar, Leviticus 23:15.
And you shall count for yourselves from the day after the Shabbat, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Shabbats shall be completed.
7 Shabbats. I looked at that, then I looked at Yovel, 7 years. Okay, 7 Shabbats, 7 years. And then there's now. God has different segments of time that are measured out in sevens. And since Yeshua, it's been 2,000 years, approximately, this has been 50, 40-year generations. This was shown to me when I first came in to the Walk of Torah and started to learn about it. And a person told me, said, God is waking his people up. And this is a season of Yovel, spiritual season of Yovel, since Yeshua. Because it's 50, 40-year generations from the time of Yeshua. That God now is returning people back to their original possession. So it's very interesting to see this number 50 that comes out of these number sevens and how we are we're designed to be woke up. There's a promise to us also in Leviticus 25:18.
So you shall observe my statutes and keep my judgments and perform them, and you will dwell in the land in safety.
You will dwell safely in the land. This promise is found again in Gileana, is what the original name of the book is. They call it Revelation. I guarantee you, Yohanan on Patmos did not call it Revelation. It was Gileana. And it's 3:10. Revelation 3:10. Safety.
Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth.
Because you have kept my command to persevere or to preserve, I will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world. This is very interesting. Leviticus 25:18.
So you shall observe my statutes and keep my judgments and perform them, and you will dwell in the land in safety.
That is the things that we can do today. If we keep his ways, he keeps us. Basically, that's what he's saying. If you will show interest in me, I will show interest in you. So, you know, it's only fair. Amen. If we show interest in him, he'll show interest in us. If I don't show interest in him, who am I to say, God, would you show interest in me while I ignore you? If we keep him and observe his ways and study his ways and toil in his ways and his spirituality, he keeps us. Leviticus 26 has 13 verses of blessings, and then it has, or 29, of admonitions. And he's not warning us, he's warning about us. This is what's very interesting with the Torah, is that it hit me. He's not warning me. He's warning about me, our weaknesses. He's warning about us. These admonitions or consequences. 13 blessings. It's amazing. When we look at Bukukotai, he tells the future of our ancestors and us. Leviticus 26, 1 through 46.
You shall not make idols for yourselves. Neither a carved image nor a sacred pillar shall you rear up for yourselves. Nor shall you set up an engraved stone in your land to bow down to it. For I am the Lord your God. You shall keep my Shabbats and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and perform them, then I will give you rain in its season. The land shall yield its produce, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. Your threshing shall last till the time of vintage, and the vintage shall last till the time of sowing. You shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land safely. I will give peace in the land, and you shall lie down, and none will make you afraid. I will rid the land of evil beasts, and the sword will not go through your land. You will chase your enemies, and they shall fall by the sword before you. 5 of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. Your enemies shall fall by the sword before you. For I will look on you favorably, and make you fruitful, multiply you, and confirm my covenant with you. You shall eat the old harvest, and clear out the old because of the new. I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. I will walk among you, and be your God, and you shall be my people. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, that you should not be their slaves. I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you walk upright. But if you do not obey me and do not observe all these commandments, and if you despise my statutes, or if your soul abhors my judgments so that you do not perform all my commandments, but break my covenant, I also will do this to you. I will even appoint terror over you, wasting disease and fever, which shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart. And you shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. I will set my face against you, and you shall be defeated by your enemies. Those who hate you shall reign over you, and you shall flee when no one pursues you. And after all this, if you do not obey me, then I will punish you 7 times more for your sins. I will break the pride of your power. I will make your heavens like iron and your earth like bronze, and your strength shall be spent in vain, for your land shall not yield its produce, nor shall the trees of the land yield their fruit. Then, if you walk contrary to me and are not willing to obey me, I will bring on you 7 times more plagues according to your sins. I will also send wild beasts among you, which shall rob you of your children, destroy your livestock, and make you few in number, and your highways shall be desolate. And if by these things you are not reformed by me, but walk contrary to me, then I also will walk contrary to you, and I will punish you yet 7 times for your sins. And I will bring a sword against you that will execute the vengeance of the covenant. When you are gathered together within your cities, I will send pestilence among you, and you shall be delivered into the hand of the enemy. When I have cut off your supply of bread, 10 women shall bake your bread in one oven, and they shall bring back your bread by weight, and you shall eat and not be satisfied. And after all this, if you do not obey me, but walk contrary to me, then I also will walk contrary to you in fury. And I, even I, will chastise you 7 times for your sins. You shall eat the flesh of your sons, and you shall eat the flesh of your daughters. I will destroy your high places, cut down your incense altars, and cast your carcasses on the lifeless forms of your idols. And my soul shall abhor you. I will lay your cities waste and bring your sanctuaries to desolation. And I will not smell the fragrance of your sweet aromas. I will bring this land to desolation, and your enemies who dwell in it shall be astonished at it. I will scatter you among the nations and draw out a sword after you. Your land shall be desolate and your cities waste. Then the land shall enjoy its Shabbats as long as it lies desolate and you are in your enemy's land. Then the land shall rest and enjoy its Shabbats. As long as it lies desolate, it shall rest. For the time it did not rest on your Shabbats when you dwelt in it. And as for those of you who are left, I will send faintness into their hearts in the lands of their enemies. The sound of a shaken leaf shall cause them to flee. They shall flee as though fleeing from a sword, and they shall fall when no one pursues. They shall stumble over one another, as it were before a sword, when no one pursues, and you shall have no power to stand before your enemies. You shall perish among the nations, and the land of your enemies shall eat you up. And those of you who are left shall waste away in their iniquity in your enemies' lands. Also in their fathers' iniquities, which are with them, they shall waste away. But if they confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers, with their unfaithfulness in which they were unfaithful to me, and that they have also walked contrary to me, and that I also have walked contrary to them and have brought them into the land of their enemies, if their uncircumcised hearts are humbled and they accept their guilt, then I will remember my covenant with Yaakov, and my covenant with Yitzhak, and my covenant with Abraham I will remember. I will remember the land. The land also shall be left empty by them, and will enjoy its Shabbats while it lies desolate without them. They will accept their guilt because they despised my judgments and because their soul abhorred my statutes. Yet for all that, when they are in the land of their enemies, I will not cast them away, nor shall I abhor them, to utterly destroy them and break my covenant with them, for I am the Lord their God. But for their sake I will remember the covenant of their ancestors, whom I brought out of the land of Egypt in the sight of the nations, that I might be their God. I am the Lord. These are the statutes and judgments and laws which the Lord made between himself and the children of Israel on Mount Sinai by the hand of Moshe.
This is the consequences of measure for measure, the consequences that were set in motion that are still playing out today. We have a description of 70 AD and here in verse 27, and after this you do not obey me but walk contrary to me, then I also will walk contrary to you in fury. I will chastise you seven times for your sins. You shall eat the flesh of your sons, and you shall eat the flesh of your daughters. This took place in 70 AD. It was horrific what happened there. They could never make a movie about it because they couldn't handle it. It was devastating what happened then, but it was the consequences. There was 26 factions of Jews in Judea at this time, and they were all at war with each other. And as many from Israel have told me before, they said the reason the temple was destroyed was because of Lashon Hara, you know, gossiping. And that's what destroys our temple. But there's certain people that spread rumors, say haters spread rumors. And fools, haters start rumors, fools spread them, and idiots listen to them. And that's the truth. Haters start rumors, fools spread them, and idiots listen to them. Now in Leviticus 26, 3 through 4.
If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and perform them, then I will give you rain in its season. The land shall yield its produce, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit.
Right here is a very metaphorical statement. If you look at this, if you walk in my ways, basically he's saying, exercise what I instruct you, then I will give you rain in its seasons, revelation in the word. The land shall yield its produce, which is a metaphor for the Torah. The Torah shall yield in you what it was designed to do. And the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, which takes us right to Psalms 1:1-3.
Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the Torah of the Lord, and in his Torah he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also does not wither. Whatever he does shall prosper.
Do you see how this ties together? It's saying the same thing in Psalms it is saying here in Leviticus, the most ignored book by Christianity. Then I will give you rain in its season. The land shall yield its produce, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, if you walk in my ways. Now the Hebrew mind grasps this and goes into the other dimension with it and says, yes, because the remez is goes right to Psalms 1:1. If we find his instructions a delight and something we start hungering for, because we start seeing how they will guard us from regret, then we will start getting addicted to them and want more. We will start to want to have more positive change in our life. Next thing you know, we become that tree by the water that yields lots of fruit. We will prosper spiritually, mentally, emotionally. In verse 21, we have a Hebrew three-letter word, Kof Resh Yod, is called Keri, which means hostility. If we could go there to 26:21, I believe it is. On the Hebrew side, we want to look at that. Leviticus 26:21. That word right there. Now this is the way God sees it. And if you go against me in hostility, God has a lot of grace. But for those out there who say they love him and believe in him and his son, but ignore his ways, his Shabbats, his counsel, they are hostile towards God. This is the way God sees it, not the way I see it. That word means hostility. For the people that ignore his ways are in hostility. He also calls it wickedness, combining two different wicks, two different thoughts. We can't straddle the fence with God. His ways are there in front of us. Faith brings the birthright, and obedience brings the blessing. Hostility, not willing to listen and to do. And then still, after all this, his grace comes again. In the law, we see more examples of his grace than anywhere else. Mercy and grace, chesed. Leviticus 26, 44 through 45.
Yet for all that, when they are in the land of their enemies, I will not cast them away, nor shall I abhor them to utterly destroy them and break my covenant with them, for I am the Lord their God. But for their sake, I will remember the covenant of their ancestors, whom I brought out of the land of Egypt in the sight of the nations, that I might be their God. I am the Lord.
So he's speaking to us now, because we are in the land of our enemies. We were dispersed. Our ancestors were dispersed, and we wound up here. But we are the descendants. We're the descendants of the people of the book, which makes us the people of the book. And he's telling us he's going to give us that chance. But we're not in the land. We're not in Israel. So how can I? Okay, he's saying, get in and dig, toil, find out what you can and cannot do. This is toiling in the Torah, in the law, learning what is pleasing in his sight, what is acceptable to him. He's doing the same thing to me, you, and all of us that he did to Abraham. Abraham wasn't in the land of Israel when he got completed. He was in Ur, in Haran. He traveled from there to Haran, and he left his father because his father was in pagan idolatry worship, syncretism, combining the pagan ways with the ways of God. It was all confusion. So God blessed him in a foreign land. He didn't have to go to the land to get blessed. He was blessed where he was at, just like you and I are. When we cry out to him with all our heart, then he says, yeah, that's the one I want. They're yielding up their whole heart for me. I want that person. I want that person that is not clinging to offenses. I want that person who's willing to say no matter what is said to them, they're going to keep going forward in me, in him. Not me, him. So in our foreign lands, we are given, no matter in what segment of time we're in, we're given the instructions to toil in, meaning working on ourselves so that the Torah, Yeshua, can purify us. I mean, we can claim salvation all day long and walk in bad character. We can say we're in the Torah of God and know all about it, but walk in bad character. It's like I said before, when we get old, it's not about how we look or what we have. It's about how our character has wound up. Where is it at? Where is our character? That statement, gather you, return to him. Forgiveness, if we confess. That's not a New Testament thing. If we confess our sins. That's 1 John 1:9. But we don't have to, we'll go there in a minute. But I want to give you some verses here. We're going to go through some about returning to him, confessing to him. Joel 2:13.
Surrender your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and he relents from doing harm.
The only way we can make true teshuvah, repentance, is to rent our heart, not our garment. Open our heart. Hosea 14:1.
O Israel, return to the Lord your God, for you have stumbled because of your iniquity.
We have stumbled. I have stumbled because of my iniquity. Zechariah 1:3.
Therefore say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, return to me, says the Lord of hosts, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts.
Now these prophets, they knew. They knew the Torah. Nehemiah 1:9.
But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though some of you were cast out to the farthest part of the heavens, yet I will gather them from there and bring them to a place which I have chosen as a dwelling for my name.
Once again, he knows his word. Isaiah 44:2 through 5.
Thus says the Lord who made you and formed you from the womb, who will help you. Fear not, O Yaakov, my servant, and you, Yeshurun, whom I have chosen. For I will pour water on him who is thirsty, and floods on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit on your descendants, and my blessing on your offspring. They will spring up among the grass like willows by the watercourses.
This one goes back to Psalms 1, 2. And he's talking about that key word there, your descendants. God knows we were all going to show up here in an old rundown brewery. He knew we were all going to show up here. Because he spoke of this in Isaiah. This is so beautiful. I love seeing his word come true in us today. Amen. This is so, I just love it. I can't get enough of that stuff. That's part of toiling in here, some of the rewards we get. We get to see the things and look at the word the way the prophets did. That is huge. Yerimahu, Jeremiah 4:1.
If you will return, O Israel, says the Lord, return to me. And if you will put away your abominations out of my sight, then you shall not be moved.
Shall not be moved. Malachi 3:7.
Yet from the days of your fathers you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what way shall we return?
Meaning, we weren't looking at something that we should have been looking at. Otherwise, we wouldn't ask that question. All these prophets of God knew the Torah. Deuteronomy, this is what they knew. Deuteronomy 30, 1 through 6.
Now it shall come to pass when all these things come upon you, the blessing and the curse which I have set before you, and you call them to mind among all the nations where the Lord your God drives you, and you return to the Lord your God and obey his voice, according to all that I command you today, you and your children, with all your heart and with all your soul, that the Lord your God will bring you back from captivity and have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where the Lord your God has scattered you. If any of you are driven out to the farthest parts under heaven, from there the Lord your God will gather you, and from there he will bring you. Then the Lord your God will bring you to the land which your forefathers possessed, and you shall possess it. He will prosper you and multiply you more than your fathers. And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants, to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, that you may live.
He's speaking way into the future and up to our time also. Leviticus 26, 40 through 42.
But if they confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers with their unfaithfulness in the way they were unfaithful to me, and that they also have walked contrary to me, and that I have also walked contrary to them and have brought them into the land of their enemies, if their uncircumcised hearts are humbled and they accept their guilt, then I will remember my covenant with Yaakov and my covenant with Yitzhak and my covenant with Abraham. I will remember. I will remember the land.
If we accept our guilt, if we accept our guilt, there's guilt, there's transgression, all these things that are insinuating a transgressions of his instructions. 1 Kings 8, 33 through 34.
When your people Israel are defeated before an enemy because they have sinned against you, and when they turn back to you and confess your name and pray and make supplication to you in this temple, then hear in heaven and forgive the sin of your people Israel and bring them back to the land which you gave to their fathers.
Nehemiah 9:2.
Then those of Israelite lineage separated themselves from all foreigners, and they stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers.
Nehemiah 1:6.
Please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open, that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, day and night, for the children of Israel, your servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Both my father's house and I have sinned.
Now these guys are talking about sin as what it was intended, the transgressions of his instructions. And then we take these, confessing the sins, our sins and the sins of our fathers, and go to 1 John 1:9. It's not a New Testament concept.
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
According to the Torah. Confessing our transgressions of the Torah. Very important. As I said before, humankind by itself cannot prove itself as his chosen people. They've been trying that for thousands of years with all kinds of hooby-jooby. And it doesn't work. It's dry bones. Humankind combined with the Creator's instructions, which is basically Yeshua, can prove themselves as his chosen. He gives us a place to go for with our love for him in his Torah. The Creator wants his chosen to return back to the mindset of the Gan Eden, the Garden of Eden mindset. To just obey, even if they don't understand, so that they can honor God. When one tries to honor God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, with pagan ways, or with the ways of the world, they don't honor him. They're honoring those deities. Honoring this Elohim, this God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, correctly, is to bring honor and glory to him by observing his ways and glorifying him. Because when we are coming to Shabbat, when we honor the Shabbat, when we honor his high holy days, when we honor his Moedim, no matter where you're at physically, when you honor those, you are glorifying him because you're doing what he said to do. And that glorifies him. When we ignore that, we're not glorifying the Father. So I just want to encourage people. This is not an easy thing. That's why he sent the Ruach, the Spirit, to help us along. And he said that the Spirit would be the ultimate teacher. So we have to wash our hands and pray and go into the word with a circumcised heart. Abba, in the name of Yeshua, we thank you. Give us strength to do this and wisdom in Yeshua's name. We have a Haftarah reading. Thank you, Brother Daryl. And thank you, Paul, for reading.
Once again, it's an honor and it's very humbling to read the Haftarah. For Parsha Bechar is Jeremiah, Jeremiah 32:6-27. Jeremiah replied, "The message from the Lord came to me. Look, Hanamel, your cousin, is coming to you and will say, 'Buy my field in Anatot for yourself, because the right of redemption to buy it belongs to you.' Then my cousin Hanamel came to me in the courtyard of the guard, just as the Lord had said, and told me, 'Please buy my field in Anatot in the territory of Benjamin, because you have the right to possess it. The right to redeem it belongs to you. Buy it for yourself.' So I knew that this was the message from the Lord. Then I bought the field in Anatot from my cousin Hanamel. I weighed out the silver for him, 17 shekels of silver. I signed the deed and sealed it. I called in witnesses and used the scales to weigh out the silver. Then I took the deed of purchase, both the sealed one with the terms and conditions and the open one. And I gave the deed of purchase to Neriah's son Baruch, the grandson of Maaseiah, in the presence of my cousin Hanamel, in the presence of the witnesses who signed the deed of purchase, and in the presence of all Judeans sitting in the courtyard of the guard. In their presence, I instructed Baruch as follows. This is what the Lord of the heavenly armies, the God of Israel, says. Take these deeds, both this sealed deed of purchase and this open deed, and put them in a clay pot that they'll last for a long time. For this is what the Lord of the heavenly armies, the God of Israel, says. Houses, fields, and vineyards will again be bought in this land. After I had given the deed of purchase to Neriah's son Baruch, I prayed to the Lord. Lord, look, you made the heavens and the earth with your great power and your outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for you. You, the great God, the mighty one, show gracious love to thousands and repay the parents' iniquity to their children after them. The Lord of the heavenly armies is his name. You are great in regards to your purposes and mighty in regards to your works. Your eyes are open to everything that the people do and will reward each one according to their ways and just as their actions deserve. You are the one who performed signs and wonders in the land of Egypt and continue to do so until this day, both in Israel and among the rest of humanity. You made a reputation for yourself that continues to this day. By your strong hand and outstretched arm, and with great terror, you brought your people Israel out of the land of Egypt, and with signs and wonders. And you gave them this land which you had promised their ancestors, that they would give them a land flowing with milk and honey. They came and took possession of it, but they didn't obey you or walk according to your Torah. They didn't do what you commanded them to do, so you caused all this calamity to happen to them. Look, the siege ramps have reached the city to take it. Because of the sword, famine, and plague, the city has been given over to the Chaldeans who are fighting against it. What you said has happened, and you are watching it occur. Lord, you have told me, buy the field for yourself with money and call in witnesses, even though the city is being given over to the Chaldeans. Then the message from the Lord came to Jeremiah, look, I am the Lord, the God who rules over all flesh. Is anything difficult for me? And just a short comment on this Haftarah, Parsha. Sitting as a student under Rabbi for a long time, I've always used that template, first the physical, then the spiritual. And I go back to the portion of this Haftarah where he says to there's a huge amount of metaphor in this buying of the land, placing the contract, basically, for the land, the title for the land, in a jar, safely sealed for it to last a long time. And if I'm wrong, I apologize, but the part of the metaphor I see in this is The contract with us is the Torah. Hard times come. Hard times are coming for Israel at this time. The Babylonian captivity is at their gates. They're about to be under siege. So the metaphor of this is put the Torah deep in your heart, preserve it deep in your heart, study it to show yourself approved, and keep studying it and study it more often, because the time will come when those who do not hide the Torah in those clay pots and seal it for the day to come, there is no promise. When there is no contract, no title to the land, there is no promise. So we should hide the Torah in our heart. We continue to study it. And because when we come out of those hard times on a personal level, then we still have that promise. He reminds them of being taken out of Egypt for a reason. He's telling them, remember, I took you out of Egypt. I'll get you through this as well as a nation. But there was sin to pay for. And now from Haftarah Bekokotai. I have to print this on paper because I can't read the font size on my Bible any longer. So this is Jeremiah 16, verse 19 through Jeremiah 17, 14. Lord, my strength and my stronghold, my refuge in time of difficulty, to you the nations will come, and from the ends of the earth they'll say, surely our ancestors inherited deception, things that are worthless, and in which there is no profit. Can a person make a god for himself? They are not gods. Therefore, I'm about to make them understand. This time, I'll make them understand with my power and strength, so they'll understand that my name is the Lord. The sin of Judah is engraved with an iron stylus. It is inscribed with a diamond point on the tablet of their heart and on the horns of their altars. When their sons remember, they remember their altars and their Asherah poles beside green trees on the high hills. My mountain in the field, your wealth and your treasures I'll give as spoil, along with your high places as the price of your sin throughout your territory. You will let go of your inheritance, which I gave you, and I'll make you serve your enemies. Make you serve your enemies in the land that you don't know. For with my anger you have started a fire that will burn forever. This is what the Lord says. Cursed is the person who trusts in mankind, who makes flesh his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. He will be like a bush in the desert, and he won't see when good comes. He will dwell in the parched places in the wilderness, a land of salt without inhabitants. Blessed is the person who trusts in the Lord, making the Lord his trust. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by a stream. He won't fear when the heat comes, and his leaves will be green. In a year of drought, he won't be concerned, nor will he stop producing fruit. The heart is more deceitful than anything. It is incurable. Who can know it? I am the Lord who searches the heart, who tests the inner depths, to give to each person according to what he deserves, according to the fruit of his deeds. As a partridge gathers together eggs that it didn't lay, so is the person who amasses wealth unjustly. In the middle of his life, it will leave him, and in the end, he will prove to be a fool. A glorious throne exalted from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. Lord, you are the hope of Israel. All who forsake you will be put to shame. Those who turn aside from you will be written in the dust, because they have forsaken the Lord, the spring of living water. Heal me, Lord, and I'll be healed. Deliver me, and I'll be delivered, because you are my praise.